Hey, that's called Off Road. I'm Alan Weiss, and this is the way I see it. And here's the way I see it about thinking big. I've been talking a lot about this lately. People have been asking me about how they get to the next level, six figures to seven, metaphorically, how do I get someplace else, and so on and so forth. Increasingly, I'm dealing with more and more sophisticated, high-growth people. My new coaching program, which is colloquially called Kick Ass and Take Names, but is really called Super Coaching, is dealing with strictly very successful people. How do you get to the next level? How do you think bigger? I'm going to give you 8 or 10 or 12 ideas on thinking big. And you might not think that some of them are very logical, but why not? So, first, stop fixing things. Stop fixing things and start innovating. Raise the bar. If something is wrong and must be fixed, don't just restore it to former performance. Make it even better. Do that with your clients. Do that with yourself. So, if you're unorganized and you want to get your calendar neater, also get your closet and your life and your garage neater. Think big, make things even better than before in terms of fixing. And when you're with clients, when you're with prospects, don't allow them to lure you into talking about fixing things. Think about raising the bar and innovating. Next, in your life, take a sharp right. I talk about this strategically a lot. Take a sharp right. Say that you're in a different business. Get ahead of the competition by claiming a new field. If you play in the other person's ballpark, with their equipment and their rules and their officials and their crowd, you're going to lose the game. Take a sharp right, get out of that ballpark, create at least neutral turf, but more preferably, your own turf. And take a sharp right in your thinking. Stop trying to do more of what you're already good at. I reinvent myself all the time. 75% of my revenues this year in 2012 will come from things, offerings, and value that did not exist 3 years ago, and we are talking at a healthy seven-figure business here for a solo practitioner. So, take a sharp right. Number three, ignore small amounts of money. I just put on Twitter that if you can't make a $10,000 impulse purchase, you're not successful. And a lot of the natives got restless, and they said, "Well, listen, you know, success isn't just about money." Well, look. I've said for a long time, wealth is discretionary time. But the fact is, if you are over 25 and have a college degree and you can't spend $10,000 when you feel like it, you have an issue. And a lot of you are older and more educated than that. Moreover, there is no difference between $900 and $1,200. Do you understand me? That's not a difference. So whether it's an article of clothing or a mode of transportation, or a bauble that you're buying your spouse or your partner or your mistress or somebody else, there is no difference between $900 and $1,200. There's a difference between $900 and $9,000. I remind you, $100,000 is not a gnat on the windshield of corporate life. They are spending six figures to mist the plants in the office, to clean the parking lot, to take care of spilled coffee and ruined postage. Do you understand? Six figures, $100,000 is not what it used to be. And so don't get all upset over small amounts of money. And I'm including $900 to $1,200, that kind of difference. Pick up the check is another point that I have. You know, there was a fellow who used to be in the mentor program who a lot of you will know as soon as I say this. He would invite people over to the bar when we were at a workshop or event or the Mentor Summit. And he said, "Come on over, have a drink. Come on, have a drink with me." And he would slink away after about 7 or 8 or 12 people were there and not even pay for his own drink. And when the implication was clearly he was buying. And every one of us thought very little of him. Every one of us thought that he was pond scum. So pick up the check, think big. Don't worry about small amounts of money. Don't spend $5,000 worrying about 50 bucks. Too many of you do. Ignore small minds. Ignore small amounts of money. Ignore small minds. Do you know what? Most association meetings, chapter meetings, national meetings, professional and trade associations, most of them are excuses for people to get together and lie about how well they're doing. Get away from small minds. Hang out with people who are successful. Marshall Goldsmith at my very first thought leadership conference said, if you want to be a thought leader, hang out with thought leaders. And that's what you should do. Hang out with good, successful people who have a mentality of abundance and who can prove that what they talk about, they've done. Who walk the talk and talk the walk. You know, Mike Todd was an impresario. I don't get to use that word very much anymore. He was one of Elizabeth Taylor's 8 or 10 or 15 husbands, whatever. But Mike Todd put on these big events in Madison Square Garden and so forth. And one day his accountants came to him and said, Mike, you got to cut back. And he said, why? They said, you're $13 million in debt. And he said, well, okay, we'll have to make that up. They said, well, change your lifestyle, do this, do that. He said, listen, I'm $13 million in debt. What do you want me to do, smoke cheaper cigars? And he's right. Stop worrying about the small stuff. If you want to think big, think about the big stuff. Here's an example. Here are three examples. How can you save a month a year? Not save an hour, not save a minute. How can you save a month a year through more efficient coordination and scheduling of what you do or what your clients do? How can you double your income by doing half the work? How do you create much more income and much less labor intensity? If you want to write for a newspaper or magazine, how do you get a column, not an article? If you're interested in writing a book, how do you get a book series and not a book? You've got to think bigger than that. Pat Lynch, who's in many of my programs and is a member of my inner circle and my communities and so forth, and she's in this coaching program I told you about, said to me, you know, a fabulous figure is Frances Hesselbein, who used to be the chief executive officer of the Girl Scouts of America. She was head of the Peter Drucker Institute. Peter Drucker said at one point that the Girl Scouts were the best-run organization in the country of any kind, profit, nonprofit, public, private. And she said she'd be great for you to interview. And I said, you know, I think you're right. And when I think I should do something, I put it in my calendar, in my file of hacks, and I do it. I don't stow it away to be done in some future time. I don't think about it for 90 days. I put it in my calendar. So I put it in my calendar to write to Marshall Goldsmith because I know he knows her and he could get me an introduction. So I wrote to Marshall. 2 days later, he said, it's all set up. Here's her phone number. I gave her a call. She'll be happy to do it. And I set a date. And next week, I'm interviewing Frances Hesselbein. That's how you think big. That's how you get things done. You don't worry about whether you should do it or how. You just do it, and you find the easiest, most efficacious way. I had a boss once in Princeton. We were sitting around a conference room table discussing new ideas for our consulting firm. And somebody came up with an idea that every one of us thought was pretty darn good. And one of the officers said, that is a global idea. And the president of the company said, no, it's bigger than that. Everybody was cheering, and I would say, wow, what does that mean? It's cosmic? I mean, are people on Jupiter going to do this? But I said, what a great spirit. It's bigger than global. I loved it. You got to think big. Stage an event one of these days. You know, hold a breakfast, stage an event. I staged these almost free workshops, drew 250 people in Boston, 150 people in LA. I'm thinking of doing a completely free workshop for my community next year. It's the first time that's ever been said aloud. And just draw a horde of people and maybe raise some money for charity and provide something back to the community. You have to stage events. You have to be at the center of the spotlight. And reward yourself. Give yourself interesting, important awards. They don't have to cost a fortune, but if they do, so what? But reward yourself because you deserve it. You know, I get calls every week. And I just got an email today, and they're of the same flattering nature. They say, thank goodness for your stuff. Your books have helped me tremendously. My practice has grown. I'm better off than I've ever been. My family is better off. And they're wonderfully flattering and encouraging to me. And these are people who are on the outer edges of my community. They don't participate in the mentor program. They don't participate in the coaching program. They don't attend workshops, but they read my newsletters, they read my books, they listen to my audio and so forth. Probably as some of you are doing here on my blog, which is fine. That's why I do it. But I made all this stuff up. I didn't do research. I didn't sit around for years and try to develop this. My approach is to value, my approach is to consulting, my approach is to professional services, my approach is to life. I thought about and created. I said, does it hang together? Does it make sense? Can I create examples that show I'm right? And I could. I'm an anecdotal writer. I'm not a scientific writer. But you know what? They work. And I've never doubted them or myself because I made them up. Because they work. And that's how you have to look at your life. If it works, do it. And do a lot of it. Think big about it. And you'll make a big splash. Make sure you're in a big enough pool. You don't want to take 3 strokes and be out of it. I'm Alan Weiss, as you probably have guessed. That's the way I see it.